All right. So today we're looking at the story of Cain and Abel. It's a story that's very well known. Even people that don't really read their Bible know that Cain killed Abel. I think there are a few jokes about this too. There's even a common language, a common phrase that has entered into the English language called raising Cain, which is not a great thing to do. It's dark and it's tragic. But it's true. This is a dark and tragic story because what we're going to encounter here is the first murder in human history. And it's not any murder. It's the murder of a brother against a brother. It's an account of an outburst of rage and envy. And so the author of Hebrews, he's launched into a definition of faith. What is faith? And he gave us some kind of initial things to think about, and now he's going to illustrate it. And there are about 20 illustrations, and we're only going to be looking at about 11 of them. So today is Cain and Abel, and specifically we're going to be looking at Abel's faith. So let's read verse 4. Just verse 4 today goes like this. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. So at the initial surface level, what we have here is two brothers bringing to God two different sacrifices. Both of them are bringing sacrifices, but both of them bring two different sacrifices, and the one is accepted and the other one is rejected. And all of this message today is about why. Why do we see this play out like this? What is going on here? Now, at first we must acknowledge there is some mystery regarding the details of the story. For example, what we do know is that these brothers must have been born outside of Eden. They must have been born after the fall. And so both were sinners. Both were born sinners, sinners by nature and sinners by choice. And we see that both of them, although being sinners, both are bringing an offering to the Lord. Both are approaching God. And we don't know why Abel was a farmer, and we don't know why Cain was the farmer and Abel was a shepherd, all right? We don't know why. The text doesn't tell us, but what we do know is that Abel brought meat. He brought some sheep that he sacrificed, and Cain brought veg, which was rejected. And the question is God not into veg? Is this kind of the first moment where we see the battle between protein and vegetables? I think not. The question then is, how did they know to bring an offering? What exactly had Adam and Eve taught their sons? Surely they have taught them something. And so as we learned last week, we can't assume that this is just a sudden event. This is not just something that was a spur of the moment decision for Cain and Abel. No, this is a response to knowledge. This is a response to information. Faith doesn't exist in the absence of knowledge. Faith rests, it's rooted in knowledge. Think about that practically. It says that by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable. So Abel had knowledge. Cain also had the same knowledge, but Abel responded faithfully with the knowledge that he had. Knowledge and faith work together. If I don't know about something, then it's impossible to believe in it. I can't believe in something I don't know about. I might not be able to see it. That doesn't mean I can't believe in it. So even though I don't see it, if I can't see it, but I know about it, then I can believe in it. So although there might be an absence of visible evidence, If I have knowledge about it, if I have understanding about it, by faith we understand that the heavens were made from nothing. We can't see how it happened, but we understand because we have knowledge and therefore we can believe. And so the same scenario is at work here. We have Cain and Abel bringing an offering. And why are they bringing an offering? Well, because there was information. There was truth about how we should approach God. And so really this is not about a meal plan, what God accepts in terms of protein versus veg. Really, this is all about faith and obedience. Obedience to God is the mark of great faith. When we look at Abel and Cain, this is the difference. The difference is Abel responded with faith, which was obedience. That's what faith looks like. And Cain responded in disobedience and he wasn't faithful. He didn't act in faith. More than that, Abel didn't just exercise faith in God. He acted on his faith. He bet his life on it. Now, in order to get a fuller picture of what's really going on here, we've got to go back to the original story. Because we've only got one verse, right, in Hebrews 11. So let's go back to Genesis 4, and we're going to look at 3 through 8, because we get a lot more clarity on the details of the story. So let's read from verse 3. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it." Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. We're going to make just a few key observations, and then we're going to draw out some conclusions about what God-pleasing faith looks like. So the first observation we have from the Genesis account is that there was a place where God was to be worshipped. Notice in verse 3 and in verse 4, it says that both of them brought. Cain brought and Abel brought. Where were they bringing it to? They were bringing it to a specific place. There was knowledge about a place. There was information passed on from their parents, Adam and Eve, that there must have been an altar, a specific place where we meet with God. And so they are responding. Both of them are responding. Both of them, in the sense, are religious. Both of them are fulfilling religious duties. Cain is bringing something and Abel is bringing something, and they're bringing it to the same place. They're meeting at the same place where we meet with God. Second observation, not only is there a specific place, but there was a specific time when the offering would be made. They're both coming at the same time. Verse 3 and 4 actually points us out. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering and Abel also brought. There's a lot more to that. We'll talk about it shortly. But the point is this, they're coming at the same time. Not only to the same place, but also to the same at the same time. Third observation, and that is there was a specific way. So not only a right place and a right time, but a right manner. There was a right way in which we approach God. Adam and Eve, we think, most commentators agree, would have passed on the information that they themselves were subject to when God sacrificed on their behalf. Remember, after the fall, they try to cover their nakedness with vegetable leaves. And so God was like, hey, no, veg is out. No, I'm just joking. God responded to this because we can't in our own works, in our own efforts, we can't save ourselves. We cannot clothe ourselves with self-righteous efforts. We need God to clothe us. And so God comes and he sacrifices an animal and he clothes Adam and Eve in animal skins pointing them to the picture that without blood, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And no doubt that was a huge moment in their lives. That was the narrative that informed, that was the gospel for Adam and Eve in many ways. And so that would have been passed on, no doubt. And so both Cain and Abel, they come to the same place at the same time, both of them ready, both of them prepared, but with very different offerings. And God is pleased with one and not the other. And so what are we to learn about Abel's faith, about Abel's offering and about Cain's offering? Or we could say it this way, what do we learn about Abel's faith and Cain's lack of faith? And if you want a one-liner, here it is. Faith is intellectual conviction. That's where we got that last week. So if you missed last week's sermon, go listen to that. Faith is intellectual thinking, knowledge, conviction, expressing itself in willing obedience. Intellectual conviction expressing itself, acting, faith that's working, expressing itself in willing obedience. That's what we see here in Abel. So let's dig a little deeper into his willing obedience. The first thing we note is that faith is full obedience, not partial obedience. Abel was obedient, whereas Cain was partially obedient. The point is this, partial obedience is disobedience. Abel, just think it through, Abel didn't get it right by accident. It wasn't because he was a shepherd. It wasn't that he just brought what was at hand. No, no, he was responding to revelation, to truth. He didn't just think to himself, well, I'm a shepherd, I'll bring a sheep. And Cain didn't just think to himself, well, I'm a veggie gardener, I'll bring a tomato. No, no, they are responding with intention. They're going to the same place, same time, but with very different offerings. And the reason Abel's was accepted was because he heard what God had said and he obeyed what God had said. He knew that this is what you require of us, God. This is the only way I get to approach a holy God. He came before God with his sacrifice. He shed the blood. He brought the sacrifice and he said, here I am. I acknowledge my sin and the remedy for my sin. This is the only way we get to approach God. And so by contrast, Cain, who was disobedient, was not willing to acknowledge his sin. Cain brought an offering, but he brought what he wanted. He brought what was convenient. He brought what was relatively comfortable for him. He chose to worship God his way. He chose to do things as he thought it should be done. And so in this sense, Cain is following in the great tradition of his mother. Cain thought that he could do things his own way. Partial obedience. No, it's okay. I will worship. No, I'm not going to not worship. I will believe in God. I will bring a sacrifice, but in my way. And so Cain, an example of false religion for all time, coming to God by another way. Not the way that God said we need to come to him. No, no, we'll come to you, God, but we'll come to you on our own terms. We have our own terms and our own conditions. And so God says, well, okay, you want to do it your way? Then you will be the father of false religion for all time. And Cain is that example. The second thing we see here is not only the importance between obedience and partial obedience, which is actually disobedience, and that is this, that faith gives priority to God. Priority to God. Cain was casual and gave as it suited him. He gave a comfortable sacrifice. It's a very important thing for us to note. It's not that he was not wanting to give a sacrifice. It was not that he was not prepared to give a sacrifice. It was just that he wanted to decide. And this is the danger of, of lukewarm Christianity. This is the danger of thinking, I believe in God, but actually you don't have genuine faith. Because genuine faith is not that you worship God, but how do you worship God? Do you worship God through Jesus Christ and through full obedience and through putting God first? Or do you worship God the way you want to worship God? Have you got a vision of God that you feel is how you should see God, how you view God, and it's nice and comfortable that way? Verse 3 says, in the course of time. In other words, he was casual about it. It was the right time, but he was too casual about it. And he brought an offering of the fruit of the ground. He knew that's not what God wanted. But it was comfortable and it was convenient. Whereas Abel gave the best. You might think, oh, but it's easier for him because he was a shepherd. Actually, it's not easier because he's close to these sheep. A shepherd relies on these sheep to reproduce and to produce more. And what does he do? He gives of the firstborn. So before you think it was easier for him, actually, I think it was harder. It was more costly to give his firstborn sheep, to trust God with the first and for the rest, that maybe they won't produce more. So he trusted God and put his faith in God. He said, God, this is what you require, and it will cost me a lot, but I'm willing to do it. He put God above himself. Verse 4, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock. This is his flock. This is his livelihood. This is his passion. This is his income. And of their fat portions. Not only do we see that Abel puts God first, but Cain puts God last, is in Cain's response to this situation. The response is very telling, isn't it? The faithless self-centeredness of Cain is evidenced by his response to God. Notice this, look at verse 5. But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. That's God's response. And now look at Cain's response. So Cain was very angry and his face fell. Cain's response is not, I'm sorry, I blew it. When God corrects Cain, Cain's response is anger at God. He was angry and his face fell. Cain does not seek repentance. Cain seeks self-pity. It just shows us how far he had fallen. Notice also in the story, we don't have time to go back to it in Genesis, that Cain is furious, but God is gracious, because God goes on to say to him, listen, Cain, just do well. Remember those words? Just do well. In other words, do what I told you to do. It's okay. You messed up. God is so gracious in the moment. God is kind of saying, do well. Do what I told you you should do. Remember, the altar's still here, Cain. You can come back. You can make right. Just go back, be obedient, and then you will also be accepted. And then he warns him even further. The grace of God goes even further. And he says, Cain, by the way, sin is crouching at your door. It's ready to spring up and destroy you, but you need to take control of it. Isn't God incredibly gracious? You might think at first reading the story, oh, how, that's so sad. God rejects one and accepts the other. No, no, God goes the extra mile. God is graciously warning Cain. God is inviting Cain, just repent, just turn around. But Cain doesn't want to. Cain is caught up in self-pity, and we know this because of his cry. When he's held accountable, what does he say? He says, am I my brother's keeper? Am I responsible for my brother? And what we find here is that Cain's rejection of God leads to his rejection of God's image in his brother. Cain's bad feelings towards God spill over into his bad feelings towards his brother. And there's a whole sermon on that your theology actually does affect your methodology. How you live your life, your morals, your values, your choices are shaped by your theology. He was angry with God, and so he got angry with God's image bearer. The third and final lesson of Abel's faith has its own three subpoints. So hang in here with me. This is it. Abel's faith is an example for all eternity. Abel's faith is an eternal example. We see this in Hebrews 11 verse 4. It says, and through his faith, Abel's faith, though he died, he still speaks. So the question is, we have here a dead man preaching, right? Here is a dead man and he's preaching a timeless sermon. What is he saying to us? This is a man from the dawn of time, and he has something to say to us today in the 21st century. Isn't that incredible? Though dead, he still speaks. So what is he saying? Three things that Abel is preaching for us today. Number one, man is accepted by God through faith, not works. It's so obvious, isn't it? By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which, here it is, he was commended as righteous, accepted by God by faith, because he obeyed God. Abel was justified by faith. He was declared righteous by God. God declared him righteous because of his faith. And then what happens? Think about this. Think of this in light of the prosperity teaching. Think of this in light of the word of faith movement. The righteous, faithful man is murdered. So much for being righteous and faithful. The righteous man of God is murdered. And just some application. I mean, sometimes you do nothing wrong, but everything goes wrong. Sometimes you do everything right in faith, and then things still go wrong. You're in good company. Not just with Abel, but with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can have great faith and go through great hardship. It's not a sign of weak faith, church. The greatest men and women of God in Hebrews 11 had commendable faith and hardship like you cannot believe. But their faith was rewarded for all eternity. And so when life throws you a curveball or a bad blow, or you get the short end of the stick and you think, I've been faithful my whole life and I've been serving God and I've been doing all that God's required of me to do. Why, God? I want to say to you, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't look at the works. Don't look at the outcomes. Don't look at the hardships. Just hold fast. Because, here it is, sometimes your greatest testimony comes after you've gone. Like Abel. Like Abel, he's still speaking. And God's not finished with you. God will commend your faith. And if not in this life, it will be commended with being in his presence for all eternity. Because only the righteous can stand before God. Only the righteous can enter into glory. And only your faith can justify you to be with God forever. The second thing I think Abel would want to preach to us is not just that we are accepted through faith alone, not through works, but that sin will be punished for those who do not obey God. And we didn't have time to get into this, but it's really the direction of Cain and Cain's family and Cain's line. And we don't have time to play that out, but you can read it in the Genesis story. Cain was given every opportunity, but eventually God judged him. And God actually cursed him and cursed his whole life and family line. And Cain actually lived a long life. You might think, wow, so the righteous guy dies young? Yes. And the evil guy gets to live a long life? Yes. But that's where it ended. Cain was a fugitive his whole life. So although he got to live a long life, it was an anxious life. It was a life of turmoil. It was a life as a wanderer on earth. Sin will be punished. If not in this life, then in the next. Thirdly, Cain's life tells us a lot about human nature. And I think Abel would want to tell us about this. Abel would want to remind us, church, just be careful, because there is, in a sense, there's a Cain inside all of us, where sin is crouching at the door. And it presents itself in selfishness and cynicism and anger towards life and people when things don't go your way or things don't go according to plan, and it's everyone else's fault. Notice that Cain got it wrong, and then God says, no, that's wrong, that's not right. And what does Cain do? He doesn't go, wow, sorry, that was just a really bad moment. I forgot you, God, and I forgot what you needed to. No, what does he do? He says, I'm not prepared to hear a no from God. Who do you think you are to tell me how to live my life? He was not willing to be corrected by God. He was not willing to submit to God's word, to God's revelation. By contrast, a person of faith will hear a no from God. And when he hears a no from God, or he says, don't do this, or don't do that, or this is the way I want you to live, the person of faith says, it's tough, but thank you. Thank you. Thank you for correcting me. But most of all, and we close with this, Abel's faith and Abel's sermon points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks to us of Jesus. In so many ways, we don't have time to play them all out, but Abel himself was a kind, generous, godly man, full of faith, and yet he was slain by his brother. Jesus was even kinder, more generous, more godly. The ultimate man of faith. And he was slain by his brothers. The good news is that Jesus is our greater Abel, whose sermon doesn't just speak, but actually he's alive. And he is our advocate before the Father. And his blood speaks a better word. Abel's blood cried out for justice and for vengeance. And that's what we deserved, because we too have sinned. We too have followed our own way. We too have not served God the way we should serve him. We too have worshiped God in the way that we think we should worship God. And so our blood deserved to be spilt, but in steps Jesus. Hebrews 12, verse 24, the next chapter says this. You have come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. You see, Jesus, his life was not ultimately taken from him. Yes, his brothers, the Jews, cried out, crucify him. But it was all part of the plan. He willingly laid down his life as an offering for sin, so that the justice of God would be satisfied in the blood of Christ. So that we wouldn't have to die. It's not my blood that needs to be spilt in order to be declared righteous. It was Jesus' blood. Jesus' blood doesn't cry out for vengeance. It cries out forgiveness. And so, like Jesus, Abel was unjustly killed, and yet God is still using him today. And so I want to say to you, keep the faith. The real faith. The obedient faith. Hold fast to Jesus. Keep trusting him. It doesn't matter what's happening around you. Even if it's hard, even if it's difficult, even if it feels like you've been so faithful, but everything just keeps going wrong, keep the faith. Keep putting God first. Keep believing. Keep obeying. You will be rewarded. If not in this life, then definitely in the next. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your revelation to us, the scriptures. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the story, for its multiple lessons. And as we've gathered this morning or this evening or whenever you're watching, listening, I pray that you would work in our hearts, that you would encourage us, that you would strengthen us, that you would give us fresh conviction to follow you, Jesus, and to trust you with our lives, to trust you with our whole heart, Lord. Lord, help us not to follow our own ways. Your word says, the way of a man seems right in his own eyes, but it's the Lord's will that will prevail. And we pray that your will would conquer our will. We ask, Lord, that our will would be subject to your will. Have your way with us, Lord. We acknowledge that your thoughts are not our thoughts. Your ways are above our ways. And so teach us your ways. Teach us the life of faith, the way of faith. And help us to be obedient. Help us to put you first, Lord Jesus. We pray that you would continue to encourage us as a church, strengthen us as a community, and keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. Amen.